Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Actor, writer June Diane Raphael begins her new book with a dedication. Quote, "To all the men who have been making decisions about women without women, thank you for all your years of public service at tables without women present. Thank you for your time, your energy, and your talent. We appreciate you. And also, we're coming for you." Alrighty then.
There it is.
June Diane Raphael is best known for her comedic acting work on series such as New Girl and Grace and Frankie. But after the 2016 presidential election, she decided to do something to increase the political power of women in the U.S. June teamed up with Kate Black, former chief of staff of Emily's List, to write Represent, the Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World, complete with a guide that covers everything, including where to run, fundraising, filing deadlines, to issues like balancing family and campaigning, managing social media, and how running for office can work in your real life. Represent, the Woman's Guide for Running for Office and Changing the World, is published by Workman. It's so nice to see you.
So great to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so some people think about writing a book, mm-hmm. or think about getting involved. How did it actually go from this idea you had to becoming a book?
You know, I was obsessed with how mysterious the process of running for office was and how so many of us assume it's best left to others, right? Mm-hmm. That there's this luxury to leading, that it's something people do when they have a ton of money or have a bunch of degrees or are white and male, and that it is not available and it is shrouded in a lot of mystery. And I really became obsessed with creating something that was accessible, that was personal, that was super informative and chock full of information mm-hmm. on how to do it. I think there is just a real sense that, you know, this isn't for every woman, or this isn't for women who have small kids, or this isn't for women who are domestic workers, this isn't for women who are sex workers, that somehow having a voice at the table is left for a few chosen people.
One thing I want to point out to our listeners who can't see the book, it's not, this is going to make somebody mad, it's not a, wah, we want to run for office book. It's a, this is how you do it, here's your checklist, here's
That's
where
right.
you go, here's a phone number, here's a website. It's, I mean, it really is a roadmap in many ways. How long did it take you to research this book?
Well, I have teamed up with an unbelievable woman, Kate Black, my co-author, who really is the one who had all the information. I mean, Kate is a walking Google machine on women and elected office. It is what she spent her entire career doing. And so a lot of what's in the book is really our conversation. Me, as someone who didn't know about the process and was considering it in my own life mm-hmm. and wondering what those first steps were, literally, what do I do? Do I have to quit my job? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't, turns out. Mm-hmm. There's 500,000 offices to run for. A lot of them you can work in part-time. So the entire book is really that dialogue between me and Kate and her answering so many of those questions. But Kate and I spent about a year researching wow. and writing the book mm-hmm. and having those conversations and asking each other questions. And that is what you see in the book.
Were you considering office?
Absolutely. That was really the whole reason for the season. Mm-hmm. I was in a state of total despair after the 2016 election and was just having a crisis where I felt I wasn't doing what I should be doing with my time and talent and energy, and that maybe running for office was the thing I should be doing. And that's what spurred my research on how I should do it and what the first steps were, and then ultimately why I wrote the book.
My guest is June Diane Raphael. The name of her book is Represent, the Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. We're going to go into details, but as a broader question, what do you think is the biggest challenge? What do you think is keeping women from pursuing this?
Yeah, well, there are the very real external challenges. And I would say the biggest one is that women have more trouble fundraising. Mm-hmm. Women of color even more so than white women. And so access to wealth, you know, to generational wealth, access to wealthy circles of people. Men have spent centuries building up that wealth, investing in each other. And women just don't have the same access. So that's real. That's a fact. That's a barrier. Mm-hmm. We can do things about it, and we talk about it in the book, but that's a real barrier. We're also not recruited in the same numbers as men are. People don't ask us and consider us as much. And then there are the internal barriers that I think are also very real. The women often don't feel that they are qualified to run for office. There's some great research in the book, and mm-hmm. I don't want to give it all away. You got to read it to find out. But there's you know, men who don't think they're qualified still consider a run for office. So there are all these very real internal barriers that women face as well. But the biggest to me is access to money.
It's interesting. The "you are qualified" chapter, it's interesting. You have listen, I'm going to read this. Check off what you think the resume of a qualified politician should look like. Ivy League educated, lawyer, graduate degrees, wealthy, previous experience in government, a standing tea time at your local country club. So the thing that's interesting about them is a word you just said. All of those things provide access. It doesn't make you qualified, but it gives you access to all the other things that you might need to run a campaign or you might need to get to office. What are some of the workarounds if you don't check off one of those boxes?
Yeah, I think the we do a lot of we do a lot in the book when we talk about, there's a whole chapter on fundraising mm-hmm. and getting women comfortable with the idea of asking for money. So if they don't have the money personally or don't have like three people who can write them giant checks, they will have to ask for money. Mm-hmm. Unless the system changes tomorrow, which I don't see that happening. Although maybe someone wants to run on campaign finance reform as their, you know, main issue, and maybe it does completely change, and that would be exciting too. But we advise women and suggest that they start to get comfortable asking for money and remind them that they are not personally taking a check, but this check is being written for the change they want to see and their platform. So we provide some really useful tips. It's been useful in my own life on how to ask for money, kind of addressing some of the stigma around women and money and why we're not comfortable with it. And starting to get real comfy cozy with the idea of asking for money. And then we also talk about ways in which, you know, we can ask for help. So that's one of the key components and something that Kate and I talked a lot about. Women don't have to do this alone. And what Kate said to me early on is, you know, she tells candidates to not just say, oh, you want to help me on my campaign? That's great. Thanks. I'll take down your email. But getting super specific about how people are going to help you. Can you build a website? Can you cook? Mm-hmm. I mean, really starting to nail down in the really granular ways how people can support you. So there are tons of workarounds. There's tons of ways we can ignite an entire village around us to help so that we can get past these barriers.
And this was very interesting to me, the idea of what I often say about women, knowing your value, but really you understanding what your value is, your particular expertise. Mm-hmm. How can someone, a woman, turn her expertise into her campaign motivation or what would motivate other people to elect her?
Yeah, I mean, I think we use that phrase a lot in the book, your experience is your expertise. And I think it's super important. Because, you know, whatever life experience women have had up until this point qualifies them to run for office. You and I are both qualified to run for office today. We actually mm-hmm. don't need anything else. I firmly believe that our government is based on that idea of we the people, and that includes us. And we really haven't fulfilled that promise yet of a truly representative government. But if we start to reimagine what that person looks like and what we need in order to do that, I think we will have more people at the table making decisions about problems that directly affect them.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you think of a woman who's been elected who has used her expertise, where her expertise has been part of why people elected her, why they were attracted to her, how maybe that she used it successfully?
Absolutely. I'm thinking of the congresswoman in Georgia, and her name is escaping me right now, but she was just elected, and she was a Moms Demand Action endorsed candidate, and her son was killed by guns, and she ran for office, had never held an elected office before and won, and has something to say about the issue of gun control and has been directly impacted in a devastating way. Her voice should absolutely be at the table. She needs to be heard, and she has a direct connection to this issue that I think is incredibly valuable.
That's another point that's made in the book, which is called Represent, the Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. My guess is June Diane Raphael, that you need to know why you're running. You need to have a very clear vision and be very specific about why you're running.
One of the cool things about women, and this is not all women, of course, and not all men, but most women run for office to solve a problem they see. Most, not all, men run for office to advance their careers. We should want more women in office for that problem, and for that reason. And I think women connecting over and over and over to the why is so important, because it's not an easy thing to do, because it takes a ton of time and energy and courage to do this. And so reconnecting over and over back to the why is incredibly important.
Let's talk about the life stuff. This is actually a title. What about those pesky nudes I took? And other questions about the internet. I think a lot of men as well, and women who could be great in office, fear having their life dredged up and fear every mistake they made being put on blast on Twitter and retweeted 10,000 times. Should that be a concern? What should you think about when you think about that if you're going to run for office?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a concern. I understand why it is. I share it. And I also, I think it's just going to be more and more of a concern as more of our lives are lived out online. For the next generation, every single moment has been captured. Yeah. So I think to dismiss an entire women make up over half the population. Right now we represent a quarter of Congress. Those numbers disturb me. And if we want to get to equity, we have to address this. And so, you know, we suggest, and there are tons of different hot tips in the book on how to really manage your social media and how to claim that space and to address photographs, videos, or just unflattering information about maybe not paying your taxes or having a criminal record, and how to address it and why it's important to address it and how to really own your story and make it a part of your story.
What's an example of someone who has done that successfully, you think?
Oh, let me think. You know, I think AOC has done a wonderful job of claiming a space for herself as a young woman who, you know, has lived online. I remember when that video of her dancing in high school came out and she addressed it and was unapologetic about it. And to me, that really created space for the rest of us, you know, to be our full selves.
I was thinking about, it just popped in my head, Stacey Abrams being in debt.
Oh my gosh, that's actually the example we use in the book. So that was, that I thought was so amazing and compelling. And I think the reason why so many people voted for her.
Yeah, she was really honest about it. And for people who don't know, Stacey Abrams was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt because of her schooling and because of having to help her family. And at one point, her opponents tried to make it a scarlet letter for her. And she just flipped the script.
Yes, her editorial on it is incredible. And she really is an understanding of that issue, again, in a very personal way. And so many people could connect to that.
My guest is June Diane Raphael. The name of her book is Represent, The Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. Something I thought was interesting, and you spent a lot of time in the book on it, and I do think it's important, is get comfortable with self-promotion. Mm-hmm. How? Well, first, how do you define self-promotion when it comes to politics and running for office? That's a little bit different than self-promotion in work situations are.
Totally. I mean, when it comes to running for office, you know, we talk a lot about how you will have to tell your story and explain why you are the person to do this job over and over and over again. I think for some women, that's really uncomfortable. I don't think I think in general, women are not primed to do that. It can feel garish. It mm-hmm. can feel like we're taking up too much space. And so I do think for a lot of us, there is a recalibration that needs to happen where we have to get comfortable with the idea of speaking about ourselves, telling people about ourselves, sharing what's just amazing about us. Kate and I did this exercise ourselves, by the way. It was very hard.
Oh.
So, and you hear a little bit about our dialogue in the book, but it is not easy to do. It was uncomfortable for me. So I do think that this stuff takes practice, and we offer some exercises on how to do it. But it's incredibly important. I also think, though, that women should remember you can be an introvert and run for office. We should not dismiss certain like personality features about ourselves that we don't think in our minds leaders share, because there's space for all of us. And there are so many introverted women I know who are so thoughtful, have so much to say. Who think, oh, that's not for me. You have to have a certain sheen and a certain energy to do this. You can be authentically whoever you want to be. Will you have to talk about yourself? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you need to turn into a talk show host. Mm-hmm. You can actually be who you are. And I think that that's a really important message.
You get real in the book about appearance and yes. about on the checklist, 15, I absolutely know what I'm going to wear as a candidate. Tell me a little bit about that conversation, because that is one of those conversations that always comes up about women candidates mm-hmm. when they're being described in articles, or the conversation goes about hair or clothing. Did you debate whether or not to put that in the book?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about that conversation.
Well, it was really hard. I mean, we call it the sort of sexist Bermuda Triangle, and we flew right on into it. And I still wonder if it should be in the book, because mm-hmm. I struggle with validating this issue at all in any way. So I don't know that I necessarily have the answer, nor would I ever want to prescribe to women what to wear. I think beauty standards are completely unrealistic, and they can cause a lot of pain. And I think women spend mm-hmm. far too much time consumed by them. But that said, you know, we talked to a lot of women while we were writing the book who are considering running for office, and a lot of them wanted to know what they should wear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them wanted to be told and prescribed. So we were in this interesting position. And where we net out in the book is really creating a choose your own adventure on this topic. So for women who know what they want to wear, and have it already, like, please skip to the next chapter. Do not spend another moment on it. But for the women who want some guidance and want to be told, because they also don't care and just that's easier, there are some suggestions in the book. And then, of course, for the women who want to wear something that we haven't seen before, I just say hats off. Mm-hmm. And yes, and there is no formula, and whatever you feel great in is absolutely what you, the candidate, should be wearing.
You touched on this earlier, and I want to circle back to it. When we hear run for office, it doesn't have to be Senate, and it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be the House of Representatives. You said how many offices that...
Over 500,000.
So what are some examples of offices that people might want to think about running for?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. And of course, they vary from state to state and place to place. So they're not the same everywhere. We have an entire chapter on where to run. And the way we nail it down and advise our women to consider it is really by first thinking about the why and what the problem is. And then we do kind of a matchmaking game and a basic civics lesson on how to find the office that would best solve that problem. I mean, if you're concerned about, you know, family separation at the border, well, that is the federal government. And so that's something you should consider. But if you want more stop signs on your block because this is the third accident this week, well, then maybe there's a neighborhood council or a city council that you should run for. I mean, there's director of sanitation. There is, you know, tax collectors. There are so many elected offices in your space and place and town and city that you can research and find out about. I mean, the truth is, too, a lot of these local offices People have been in there forever because nobody runs against them, because nobody thinks about it. Mm-hmm. So I would really encourage women to think about what that problem is and where it's best addressed, and to remember that sometimes starting locally is the way to go. But of course, if they want to take a swing first time, I mean, we just saw it happen with the president, never held an elected office before. Lest we forget.
Was there something when you were writing this book and researching it that made you mad?
Yeah, there was a lot that made me mad. I think the thing that I come back to that makes me the angriest about the way our system is set up is the money. Is how if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're barely making ends meet, that taking on something like this is so much more challenging.
And that's prohibitive for some people.
It can be, absolutely. Yeah. And that's true and that's real. I think also those are the people who I hope read the book and consider the ways in which we offer suggestions on how to manage their time, money, and the care that they give or need in order to do this. So I don't think it's impossible, but yeah, it's definitely so much harder.
What's your first step? Then I'll let you go. First step to building a network. You've heard this conversation. You're excited. You're getting the book. What's the first step to building a network?
Yeah, for any woman who is listening to this, who thinks, oh, maybe I should buy this book, maybe I should consider this, my first suggestion is if that thought is running through your head for 1 second, tell someone else. And the reason why Kate and I say that is because it does two things. It commits you further to the process just by saying it out loud to someone else. And it also starts to build that network. The people who are with you from the beginning, who have been pulled into that inner circle and inner sanctum, you will really need. And they will also hold you accountable. So, yeah, the first step isn't figure out what office. The first step isn't figure out how much money. The first step is say it out loud to someone in your life.
If you're intrigued, June and Kate have an event.
Yes.
On September 19th at the Upper West Side Barnes & Noble at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow night. The name of the book is Represent, the Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. June, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up after the break, our pals from Gothamist stop by. This is All of It on WNYC.